Psalm 119 happens to be the biggest book in the Bible, center, long, 176 verses. Today, we're going to go through each one at a time, and study them until we're done. Psalm 119. That takes you back to that old joke Bob Myers used to tell, doesn't it? The new preacher showed up one Sunday. He said, "How long can I preach?" And the deacon said, "As long as you want." And that guy got excited. The deacon said, "But we leave at 12. Psalm 119. First 9 verses. "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be carefully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your word." And then in the 105th verse, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." May God add His blessings to these words as we seek Him in it. And would you please join with me in that opening prayer? Father, thank You. Thank You for raising us up. Thank You for giving us what we need. We ask that You set us aside at this moment. Take away the thoughts that we have about anything concerning outside. And be right here in the Holy Spirit dwelling in You. These words are not mine. These thoughts are not mine. I beg You, Father, to guide me and take me through this, that we all may learn from it and strengthen ourselves in the week to come. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. And all of His children said,
Amen. Amen.
I am in a mood this morning. And unfortunately, when I'm in a mood, you have to ride along. You have no choice. You can't leave, or I'll have the doors locked so you can't get out. I'm in a good mood because I got to play with steam engines all day yesterday, and it reminded me of just what I love. You see, over where I live, there is Route 40. It's a little known road. Many of you may have never heard of it. You know, Route 40, what runs between Frederick and Hagerstown. There is a stretch of it over my way that is perfectly bullet straight. If you stand on one end of it, six miles away, you can see the other end of it, and you can see the tops of the two mountains and the dips. You can't see the bottom of it, but you can see it perfectly. And how do I know that it's about 5.5 or 6 miles long? Many, many years ago, I was watching a program one time about, of all things, steam trains. And they were talking about my favorite locomotive in the whole wide world, the biggest one ever built, of course, which is the Union Pacific 4000 series, known as the Big Boy. That's what I always wanted to call myself. And the Big Boy generated enough tractive effort that it could pull a fully loaded freight train, one locomotive, 5 miles long, up to a 1% grade. Well, I had to figure out what 5 miles was, so I went out on that stretch of road, and I put a big paint mark in the middle of the road, and then drove 5 miles and put another paint mark. That's a lot of train. But that road is so straight. A couple weeks ago, we were riding out that way, and as we were coming back, one of my favorite things to do on the return trip back from Hagerstown is when you go past Pleasant Walk Road, you'll go down a little dip, and you'll start up the hill right above Myersville, and at the top of that hill, you can look and see the next hill that's near my house. And I couldn't see it. And it got me thinking, all these years as a kid, when we were coming home, that was the marker that we were almost home, because I could see the next hill. I could see the path leading me home clear as day. Now it's, well, I was a kid some 40 years ago. It's gone. Time has moved on. The trees that were once cut away when they built that stretch of road have grown back up and have started to grow together over top the road, and I can't see the path. Sermon path. Can't see the path. I can't see the way home like I used to see it as a child, and it upsets me at times. It's upset me sometimes to the point where I want to volunteer and go down that road and cut all the trees back away. I'm sure the state of Maryland will have a problem with that. But it got me to thinking, from time to time, that's how I feel as Paul Nelson Leatherman III, Christian. Sometimes I lose sight of that path. Sometimes I suddenly catch myself lit up in the world, drawn up in the world, lifted up, trying to become a leader. But I lose sight of that path. Everybody ever feel like that? That path that you once walked was so clean and so clear. And then suddenly one day you're like, man, I can't see the path. Because the world has come around you, because you have allowed yourself to get caught up in it. The psalmist writer in 119 is simply saying, if you want to follow the path, if you want to remain pure and true, especially in the ninth verse, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the Word, not the world. There's no R or L in that. Well, there's an R, but no L. I have a little thing here from S.I. McMillan in his book, None of These Diseases. Tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, and it teaches us about not following the path. Trying to be leaders instead of followers. I'm not a leader. I need to remember that. It says she wanted to go to college, and when her paperwork came back and she was reading it, her heart sank and she became troubled because on the application it had a spot that the following words were asked. Are you a leader? She was a good Christian girl, very conscientious, knew of her feelings, and she wrote down, no. Returned the application. Prestigious college. Figured she'd get that letter back, and of course that letter did come back. It said, dear applicant, a study of the application form reveals that this year in our college, we will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel that it is imperative that they all have at least one follower. We get lost on the path. It's our nature. Being a pastor is a hard deal. Being a pastor and being me is triplicate hard. Because, let's face it, I can be a little bit of a ham and I can eat this up. I get very nervous about this whole situation here. Being a pastor, being called to be a different person. A lot of people look to you and they say things to you that make your heart proud and make your head swell. I am thankful that I have been allowed to stand here, and at the same time, I'm terrified of it every Sunday. Don't mistake me for being confident. I'm scared to death every Sunday. Because I only want what He wants. But unfortunately, like the rest of us, the path gets dirtied up. What's it say back there? The psalmist writer is writing it. You've laid down them precepts that are to be fully obeyed. And in the fifth verse, the psalmist writer, who was probably Ezra, wrote these words. And I love them. They should be on your refrigerator. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees, that I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. He looked out across that path and sees he can't see it anymore. Y'all ever felt like that? You've taken a moment there and you've looked around and said, what in the world? When did I decide that I wasn't going to follow Him anymore? When did I decide that I was going to get lost? You didn't decide. Just like them trees didn't suddenly one day wake up and start covering over that road that I love to look at. It comes on a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. well, you know, I might just not so much be so worried about certain little things. I might not so much be worried about whether or not I can do this. I was talking to a fellow yesterday at the steam engine show who made the most amazing statement to me, and it made my heart hurt. He knows who I am. He knows who I was. And he started talking about church, which caught me off guard. And so we talked for a while, and he said, you know, I quit going to church because I got mad at church. Now, let's think about that for a minute. You got mad at a building. I love it when people say, I got mad at church. Really? Well, did you fall against the building? Did you stub your toe going in? You got mad at the building? Well, you know what I meant. No, I don't know what you meant. Explain to me. Well, I got mad at the people in the church. So, oh, well, okay, let's talk about that for a second. You mean the entire group came to you and said so and so, and they did things to you all at once to make you mad? Well, no, that's not what I meant. Well, what did you mean? He said, I got mad at the way the church was going. He said, I didn't feel like I belonged. He said, so I quit going. And it got easier. My dad tells a story about a pastor, a retired pastor, who decided he was going to quit going to church as an experiment. So the first Sunday he didn't go. He said, I got my path. I'm okay. I'm not going to church this Sunday. He said it killed him. He said he sat there in sweats. He was tore apart because he couldn't be with God in his house on that morning. Second Sunday, he didn't go. He said it was terrible. It was horrible. But not quite as bad. The third Sunday, well, it really made me feel bad. And by six Sundays in, he said, you know, it didn't bother me. He couldn't see the path anymore. I don't wish that for any of you. The psalmist writer talks about it right there. He reminds us of just where we're at. Pretty near everybody in this building at one time has owned a dog. I feel that I have owned all of the dumbest dogs in the world. But that's a whole nother sermon. And probably has a pretty good one. But when I was a boy, we had a collie dog who thought she was a human. She would come to the table and she would sit back on her haunches and look around on the table like she was expecting her plate. So when Dad wasn't looking, I'd throw food down there. They always couldn't figure out why the floor was wet beside of me. But she had a great habit. And it made me laugh to see it done. She would go with you wherever you went. Come on, girl. And the way she'd come along, boy, she wanted to go where you were going, and that was it. And after she walked behind you, then she was beside you, then she was in front, then she was way up there in the front. And the next thing you know, she was so far up in front, she had to turn around and look and make sure you were still back there. And then she'd stop and wait for you to catch up, and she'd start all over again. You ever have a dog do that? Crazy mutts. They teach us something when they do that. They taught us who we are. We get to looking somewhere else. The path gets obscured. We start going in our own direction, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, wait a minute. Where are we at? And at that point, we need to stop and wait on God. You know when you got off the path, don't you? It was very recently relayed to me, someone who is struggling with a path in their life. And I listened for a while and I told him, I said, I'm pretty sure you can answer your own question here. Yes. They may not have liked that, but that's the truth. I don't always like the fact that I have to go down that path. Sometimes I want to take the easy way. You know, get down there on the path. It's straight and narrow. There's very few fast food restaurants. And I need to stop at one every so often. I heard a study the other day that said if you want to eat, you can go somewhere and eat in 20 minutes and be back in your house in time for the evening news. And I thought, now that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of as I chomped into my Big Mac. We get off the path. We get lost. And so the psalmist writer is reminding us to utterly obey the decrees, to utterly stay forward in it, to keep going. In Isaiah 53, the great prophet had these words to say that were about Christ. In the 53rd chapter, in the 6th verse, he makes a statement. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now what Isaiah is saying there, what he has laid down right there is that while we have turned our own way, the only person that can clear that path was Jesus Christ. And how did he clear that path? Anyone? He died for our sins. And the path got real clear again, didn't it? We turn away. The same fellow I was talking to says, I don't go to church anymore because I feel like I got too far away from God. He didn't move. And he won't move. And he will be there waiting when you're ready to come back. All you got to do is take a moment and check the path again. Get back on it. Find that clearing. Look ahead. The funniest thing is, while I can't see the whole path anymore that usually marked my entrance to coming home, I can see enough of it that I still know where it's at. And do you know why? Because not every tree has grown together yet. And it keeps me sane and straight. Can you all relate to what I say? Hallelujah. I tell you this because as I look around, as I listen, as I hear things more and more in this world, the thing that seems to overwhelm me the most is that people just don't care once they start to slip away. The psalmist writer continues on back in 119. Follow back along with me to the very end. Starting in the 169th verse. Yes, I said 169th verse. I love saying that about that chapter. 176 verses. I still think one Sunday I should just go through them all. See how many people are awake at the other end. In the 169th verse, the psalmist writer there reminds us. He says, "May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." We should hold it right there for a second. What is he saying? He's saying that when we cry out, the Lord will hear us. May my supplication, verse 170, come before you, deliver me according to your promise. Your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. Verse 173, underline it. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Translation, clear the path so that I can see it again. Uncover my eyes, make things ready. Continuing on, verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord. That's us crying out when we have slipped away. I long for your salvation, O Lord. And your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me. Verse 176, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. End of song. It doesn't end on a high note. It ends on a reminder. It tells you to go back. I'll tell you what it does. It tells you to go back and read that little section again. Every time the path starts to get closed up, go back and read that section again. Every time you start to fall off to the side, go back and read that section again. Every time you think that you are getting away from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, go back and read that section again. It tells you what to do, and that is get on your knees and pray. Help me. I work in a harsh environment. The guys down there and where I work, they're construction workers. They don't really have a whole lot of throttles on their mouths. And I find myself being drawn by temptation sometimes to just go in there and go Samson on them. But I had to cut my hair, so I got to wait for that to grow back. Sometimes I find it drawing things out in me that I don't like seeing because I forgot the path. You fall temptation. You fall prey to that. Even at the very beginning of this psalm, the psalmist writer is saying, how does a man stay pure? How does a woman stay pure? By following the word against all else. We can't help the situation sometimes that we're in. We have to work. We have to live. We have to interact with people. We love them. But we need to remember that while they are seeking what they want, we need to make sure the path is seen. That book, Heaven is for Real. I read the adult version of it. I saw her lay that book down. When I saw her lay that book down, I decided today I'm going to be a little kid. Which if you talk to Wendy, that's not an uncommon occurrence several times during the day. But it is for real. When that book came out, there was a whole lot of naysayers that spoke against it. And I did some reading up on it, and I did some thinking, and I came to this opinion. How am I to know what God has done? Maybe he showed this little boy a little something. He showed John something on the Isle of Patmos. All I know is this. My life prior to Jesus Christ was a nightmare. My life on the other side of him is hard and at times a lot of work. But do you know what? In those moments when I feel the prayer being answered, and I know you feel the same, brothers and sisters, in those moments when you feel the power of the Holy Spirit come on, when you hear that prayer being answered, in that moment when you see a flower come alive, or the grass grow, or a little kid smile, or any number of things that says God is alive and real in this world, you know that Jesus Christ saved you, you know He gave you a path to follow, and no matter how many times you mess it up, with His forgiveness, you'll be put back on it and taken straight on to the gates of heaven. Amen! And that's where I'm at. And that's how real it is. And that's what the psalmist writer has given us. There are going to be times that you can't see the path. Stop. Get it cleared. And get going again. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, got a little worked up this morning. I preach because I remind myself. I talk because you've given me the words. We listen because you want what's righteous for us. You didn't give us an easy way to go down here. But you gave us forgiveness. You gave us a path to walk upon. You gave us you to lean on. And you gave us your Son who died for us. Should we speak the name of Jesus Christ too much? No. Should we always remember that we need to stay back behind you? Yes. Will we do it? No. Will you remind us when we get too far? Yes. So the prayer is simple, Father. When you're reminding us, pray that we listen. Pray that we hear you. Pray that we obey you. Father, do make the path straight for us and take away the crooked things. Help us in those moments when we would fall prey to temptation to stand up and step away from it, and strengthen us outright for that. I ask upon those here today that you would shower them, Father. And if there be one that do not know, that's off the path a little bit, that you would hear their prayers when they make them to you, their supplications. These things I give over to the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ promised for us, that you gave to us. And through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If your path is off a little bit, you need that prayer time. Got a big spot up here. I say this every Sunday. I'm not going to quit saying it. If you need me to pray with you, I will. If you don't want me bothering you, come up here and pray. I'll behave. Mostly. We stand ready to bring His Word to you.